Money and markets, the lead story this week around the world, as I predicted in the first quarter, in our annual wrap-up in January, is weird weather. We see reports across the United States and in many other places of drought, and what this is going to do to food and water supplies, and debates about what's causing it. But that story is buried behind lots and lots of stories on the financial side of the balance sheet, full of issues about debt and bank bailouts and complex financial concepts and terms. But if you read through it and go back to what's really hurting the economy, if anything, it's the weather. Now, one of the things you saw pick up as this happens was more debates about the cause and effect of what's causing the weather problems. And they continue, unfortunately, to leave out discussion of chemtrails. And my attitude is until you're going to integrate chemtrails into your discussion and explain how that fits in, I'm going to have a hard time taking you seriously, whatever your point of view and conclusion is. Up on the blog earlier this week, it's off the homepage now, I've had it up twice, is a major conference being organized in Los Angeles later this month called Consciousness and Chemtrails. It will broadcast through the web, so you can sign up for a reasonably low amount of money and watch it through the web. You don't have to go all the way to Los Angeles. And they're literally bringing Clifford Carnicom, Will Thomas, and all the people who've done the best coverage of this topic. So I think it's going to be very interesting in terms of aggregating the knowledge about this topic and disseminating it. But quietly, as all this is going on, you're seeing a lot of smart money moving in and buying up quality farmland and water, literally worldwide. In the Eurozone and in America, we saw markets fall today as the heads of the ECB and Federal Reserve gave more words instead of announcements of bond purchases or other infusions of fresh funds. It was, you know, it's been kind of a tease with empty words finally coming out today. My guess is they're simply letting more air out of the balloon. The Fed's likely to engage in more quantitative easing in a presidential election year, but if they let more air out of the balloon when the quantitative easing comes, the pop is going to be that much greater. So it's going to be interesting to see when they finally do so. Watching the Romney campaign twist in the wind for the last 2 weeks, and certainly a disastrous trip abroad in London and then Europe for Romney, there's no signal whatsoever that Romney did get any kind of anointing at the Bohemian Grove. And that means, to me, there's a greater chance the Fed is going to do whatever it has to do to maintain the markets through the election at least. Story up on the blog about the EU criminalizing commodity pricing manipulation and the CFTC here moving to enforce against an MF global trader for manipulation of palladium and platinum prices. That has to make me laugh because, as a matter of national policy, we've been manipulating precious metals prices very significantly for more than a decade. So, you know, moving after an MF global trader now that that firm is shut down on sort of a sideshow, it tells you that, if anything, they're desperate for something to make it look like they are enforcing. But it brings up the question that we've talked about constantly when we discuss the oil card, which is how do you, if managing commodity prices as a tool of national security and national economic policy in a global competition is really a decision of state, how can you possibly enforce against people for doing it? That raises a multiple personality disorder that we have yet to address as sort of a society. In Asia, continuing announcements of stimulus plans from China, that's important because the slowing in Asia is contributing mightily to a slowdown in the global economy. That's in part coming from Europe because China exports about 50% into the European Union. So this slowing is big, and the effort to get China doing, or Chinese consumers to replace a little bit of the load, or China stimulus and infrastructure programs is important. And so everybody's watching to see how much stimulus and how much that will sort of slow down the slowing down. China is tied in the Olympics with the U.S. for gold medals. We seem to have put geopolitics aside for a week, and we're just competing over medals. But China and U.S. have 18 each, with U.S. now pulling ahead today with 37 total to 34 total for China. Meantime, India has had the mother of all blackouts, hundreds of millions of people without power, and that can certainly help to slow down one of the fastest-growing economies as well. The Middle East is as fractious as ever. With Putin back in power, it means Russia's feistier than ever, and that's going to make the Middle East a feistier locale, not to mention reports now out of Pravda that Putin is sending nuclear missiles to Cuba. Let's see if that's confirmed. But given that we have missiles moving closer on the rim to Russia, it wouldn't surprise me if Putin tries something like that. The U.S. economy, jobs is front and center again as the economy slows in a presidential election year. The latest Gallup poll shows the jobs as the issue first on voters' mind. Interestingly enough, number two is government corruption, which is good because there's a direct link between that corruption and the fact what's happening to the income side of households. Propaganda over budgets is full of disinformation, as I said last month. It's continually, the propaganda is continually presenting the problem as being there's no money, which means the solution is we have to cut back taxpayers and labor. Retirees have spent a lifetime investing cash into the system, and frankly, the system has other uses for the cash. It wants to build global empire. It doesn't want the money coming back. So now's the time to sort of abrogate the deal or slow it down. The theory that there is no money is not true. That's not to say, however, that there aren't some very hard truths that need to be faced and things need to be changed. There are a whole lot of things, if you look at the real truth, that many, many people do not want to hear, such as the fact that 50% or more of households are financially dependent directly or indirectly on government spending, a vast majority of it which encourages negative productivity. Part of the other thing is that a false picture leads to false solutions like slashing pension benefits, cutting health care, extending retirement age. And it's interesting to see the proposals. There's a story about CEOs with proposals on Social Security in the budget. And those proposals include extending the retirement age, which is a real problem because if there are no jobs, how's that supposed to work? Are we supposed to generate more income and work longer if there are no jobs? This all dovetails with the health care rules. There's a story in the New York Times up on the blog about what the health care rules are doing to, or the new health care plan is doing to small business. Perfect example is fast food restaurants. I've talked to before about the danger that fast food restaurants will move to robotics, and I think if you look at the economics of what the fast food, what healthcare is doing to a lot of the fast food franchises and small business owners, it's just going to put the pressure on to go that way even more. One of the positives coming out of this, Jeb Bush, governor of Florida, son of George H.W. Bush, once said that there's no constituency for fiscal responsibility. We're starting to see little hints, little seeds of life that may be changing. A couple stories I put up on the blog about people diving in and looking at the consolidated annual financial reports. There's stories percolating around the internet on participatory budgeting, which is something that started in Latin America. People started to dig in and say, well, wait a minute, where is the money? Let's find the money. And that includes the story of an effort by the state parks in California to do numerous sort of privatization things because there was no money. Everybody dug in and found over $50 million sitting in a reserve account. It turned out there was money. You're hearing lots of noise about defense cuts. Don't believe it. The global empire build-out is going to continue to be protected. But I think that's all part of the propaganda on the theory that is there no money. We saw one article, and it's up on the jobs, about companies having trouble finding people with the right skills and there being an imbalance between people looking for jobs and the kind of jobs that companies want to fill. There is no doubt, and this is a major issue over the student loan issue, that we're watching a mismatch between the curriculums that schools are providing and encouraging kids to get an education in and the skill sets that companies and other employers are looking for. And that's one thing you want to think a lot about if you're headed into college or you've got kids or grandkids headed into college. In financial markets, we saw Bill Gross, Dr. Doom, predict the end of the cult of equity markets. And the markets did back off, including precious metals, with the ECB and Fed non-announcements today. Lots to talk about next week with Franklin. The biggest concern up on the front of the blog, the garbage index is way down. It's diving the way it did in 2008. And that is a real, very significant but rarely looked at indicator. And I would encourage you to take a look at that chart.